This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Right now about some of the major disappointments behind the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And I just want to say, just to clarify, I mean, we've been harping on them pretty bad in the last hour because there was a recent thing that happened today. Captain Kickass, your music videos were officially released today.
Yep.
For your new EP that you've been talking about over the last several weeks.
Released on Independence Day.
CaptainKickass.com is where you can go to find the links to watch those. They're all over the music world right now on various different sites and services and such. And the one place they're not being found is in the Porcupine Freedom Festival attendees chat.
Yeah, where you went, Porkfest attendee chat on Telegram.
You went earlier today, excitedly, because you, in one of these videos, which was called
It's Time,
you had recorded footage from the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yes.
In fact, the Porkfest, hundreds of the Porkfest attendees are actually featured in this particular video. Their
Correct.
Voices are part of the actual music.
Absolutely.
The Porcupine Freedom Festival was part and parcel of this production. And you thought, oh, yeah, who should see this besides people that were at Porkfest?
Who needs to hear this first? Like, this is literally the first place that I went to.
And then they deleted it. The admins,
like within minutes,
right, from the group deleted it. And that sparked a conversation about some of the failures of the event, sort of the history of that, which we went into in detail in the first hour. Sort of the things, the mistakes some of the organizers made, and then the things that they did to correct it, which they did correct, and they made things better for a couple of years, and then they started going back to some of their old ways. Again, to their credit, not to all of them. They don't have the oppressive security anymore at the gate. That's not been going on for years, so that's good. But unfortunately, the power just seems to affect libertarians just like it does everybody else. Surprise, surprise.
And that's an important point, that we're not special when it comes to this. We're human beings, and every human being is corrupted by power. The
exactly
more power you give them, the worse the person gets.
Yeah.
And that's just how life works, which is why we're trying to distribute power evenly in the first place.
And
it takes a hell of a person to be able to be tolerant, fair, and logical in the face of having power.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I've even been put into positions of power and been like, oh yeah, well, ha ha ha, mm-hmm. right? You know, like at management jobs and stuff like that. Like you find yourself checking yourself. You're like, I can't believe I did that. Right. So I mean, I'm human. I'm fallible. You know,
this is one of the reasons why Forkfest was created, was because of the power that people have over the Porcupine Freedom Festival and the decisions that they make. And they're always controversial because there's always one group that wants one thing and another group that wants another thing. It's like at Forkfest, the idea is there is no one who's in charge of the event. We saw what the problem was. We were able to see clearly the problem with the Porcupine Freedom Festival is the centralization, is the power. And which we're not talking about a lot of power here. We're just talking about running a damn festival, but it's something.
Yep.
And people will glom onto that in a way that will surprise you. So Forkfest was formed for this alternative event that, you know, we don't even have an official date for because there's no board of directors to choose an official date or anything like that. It's just sort of like a consensus of people says, this is what we're going to do in the coming year.
I'm Forkfesting the 3 days before Porcupine Freedom Festival this year.
We're promoting it as Thursday through Sunday.
Right.
So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sorry, 4 days before.
Right, that's what we're promoting. But if you want to do three, you do three. Some people are saying they're showing up at the beginning of the week. They're going to do a full 6 or 7 days or whatever, which I think is fantastic.
I'm actually more motivated now to make Forkfest as much of a festival as possible. I know there have been some chats going on about, hey, what can we do? Like, I'm not sure. I have some ideas. I'll get a hold of some people, but, like, I mean, I'm more motivated now. I did my my pre-release show on the Sunday of Forkfest,
the last day here of Forkfest.
Specifically because, well, I didn't want to do it on Saturday because we had the wedding going on.
Yeah.
Right? And also I wanted to make Forkfest as much of a festival as possible.
Yeah.
Knowing that there were very few official musical acts going on during the Porcupine Freedom Festival, I thought I would do mine on the Sunday of Forkfest to give Forkfest just that much more oomph and make it more of a festival. And I'm now more inclined to, like, I was planning on maybe getting some musicians from Seattle to fly in, you know, that kind of a thing, maybe put on a real thing, see if I could get into the pavilion one day or something like that, because I've got a whole kick-ass sound system that I could deploy. There's some things that I need to get, but, like, they're minor things. But I'm more inclined now to do it during Forkfest because I don't have to navigate the bureaucracy.
Right. I mean, our friends Matt and Nikki, they got married at Forkfest this year, but they tried to get married at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and they were declined.
How do you decline that?
I don't know.
How do you decline a freedom power couple getting married at the largest freedom festival or camping festival?
So it's just these errors that these organizers have been making and just blatant.
Did you know they took credit for it, too?
Yeah, later on. Yeah. After the fact, they were sharing photos of it and acting like
look what happened at our festival. No, it didn't happen at your festival.
It happened the weekend before at Forkfest. So that was the idea behind Forkfest was let's have a time at the same campground either before or after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, where people who don't want to have to deal with tickets and bureaucracy and asking for permission from the Porkfest organizers or whatever the rules are that they're going to implement that year can just come and hang out. And that's what was created. And I think what happened with Forkfest was it's always been a small event. There have been years where, like this year during the wedding, there's like 100 plus 150 people that came that wouldn't have otherwise been there. So that definitely brought some things up. That happened also the same year of Jay Noon's wedding, which also happened at Forkfest several years ago. And again, that brought in a lot of people. And I think what happened was it changed sort of time frames. It was happening before the Porcupine Freedom Festival for like 3 years, and then after the Porcupine Freedom Festival for 3 years, and now it's back to before, because people are trying different things and seeing what works and what doesn't. And it's just, it seemed like what happened was Porkfest sort of got whipped up into shape after a few years of Forkfest happening. And
wow. Competition increasing services?
Yes.
And decreasing prices? What a shock!
It did that.
It's almost as if, like, a market that was, I don't know, free was like a good idea, man.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. The Forkfest provided much-needed competition to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It wasn't a lot of competition, but it was enough to where I think some of the organizers were a little irked by it. And I'm not going to go and name names or anything like that, but they ended up kind of making up with Free Talk Live, and we were allowed back at the Porcupine Freedom Festival after being banned from it back in 2016. It seemed like things were coming going in a good direction. They didn't crack down on the vendors anymore. They changed policies. They got rid of the security, the oppressive security, and those changes have been permanent so far. But now they're making changes in another way that, in my opinion, are even worse than what they've done before. By discriminating against Body Freedom Village, a relatively small group of attendees, probably, I don't know, 1% of the Porcupine Freedom, maybe 2%? You know, a couple dozen people at most. I was there for the Body Freedom Village Olympics, and I don't think there was more than 12 naked people at that particular event, which would be like about 1% of the attendees, maybe a little less.
Right.
So they're discriminating against these people based on supposed threats that were going on, essentially negotiating with terrorists, doing what these people, who we don't even know if they've ever attended the festival, but let's go ahead and presume they have. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's ignore the purportedly anonymous threats, because it would be really stupid to send a threat like openly under your own name, right? So I'm presuming they were anonymous threats, but the organizers won't say anything about it, so we have no real way of knowing.
No evidence.
But let's just presume that everyone complaining about the naked people had actually been to the Porcupine Freedom Festival in the past, and let's just presume they've actually seen the naked people, because I suspect a bunch of them haven't. What we're dealing with here is what you call in law the heckler's veto. Are you guys familiar with this concept?
I've heard this concept before, but explain it again.
You know, there's a lot of crap in the court system, right? Like, we're pretty critical of the government courts here, but
yes, I am.
Every every now and then they kind of get a concept right. And the heckler's veto concept is a good concept to keep in mind. What it basically says is, if, for instance, let's say you're going to go out to Keene Central Square and, Pete Clisson, you're going to have an event where you speak your mind on some issue. That's your freedom
what,
of speech,
me?
Right?
Never.
It's your freedom of speech. You should be able to do that. Well, the heckler's veto says that somebody issues a threat and says, if that peakless mountaineer comes to Central Square, we're going to light the town on fire. We're going to start killing people. We're going to start shooting. Whatever the threat is, right? Yeah. We're going to beat up little girls or dogs or something like that, right? Whatever the threat is, somebody makes a threat because you're going to exercise your freedom of speech. And the town says, oh, somebody made a threat. We can't allow Peakless Mountaineer to come out to town square and make this speech. If he makes this speech, dogs are going to be strangled.
Boo.
Children are going to be harmed. There's going to be a bomb go off somewhere. That's what someone said. That's what the people threatening said was going to happen.
Right.
So therefore, look, we support your free speech, Peakless Mountaineer, but you can't do it in town square. That is the heckler's veto, the idea that because someone said that they were going to break the law,
right,
because someone said they were going to commit violence, therefore the supposedly protected act, the thing, the free speech in this case, should be disallowed. That is something that in the law, there is like a lot of court precedent for this, and if a town ever does something like that, you will win that case because they cannot override your right to free speech on the basis of someone making a threat. And so even the government courts get this one better than the organizers of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, because that's exactly what has happened here.
Yeah, because no matter what Peakless Mountaineer might say in your example, he's not the bad guy.
That's right.
He's not the one lighting the puppies on fire, whatever the threat was.
He's just talking.
Right.
And the same thing's happening at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, where the naked people, they just want to be naked on their campsite, okay? That's all they wanted.
Are you suggesting that peaceful people exercising their rights should be more important than terrorists?
Indeed. And also, peaceful people who haven't asked for protection, peaceful people who are fully capable of protecting themselves at the most well-armed Freedom Festival out there. I mean, the whole narrative that the management of this particular event is pushing for their excuse for putting the naked people up in a segregated zone, and they tell them they have to put up essentially a wall, is complete gobbledygook, poppycock nonsense, total BS.
Balderdash.
And it's absolutely ridiculous that this is happening.
Horse hockey.
And it does beg the question of,
and
I mean,
other words that we can't say until 10:30.
It would be bad enough if all they did was restrict you, Captain, from posting in a chat room. I mean, that's bad. But what they're doing to Body Freedom Village is, in my opinion, the lowest low that they have hit so far. I mean, the searching people's cars was pretty bad, but this is even worse, in my opinion, because they're literally segregating people in a specific area designed to offend the neighbors, because the neighbors of the area they're segregating them to are the park model people. They're not attendees of the festival. They're more likely than the average festival attendee to be upset by what they see. This is programmed for failure.
Porkfest, where segregation and censorship are real.
And so it does beg the question of what else can be done about this besides an exodus. And I know that Jeff, who's the organizer of Body Freedom Village, is in a place right now where he's trying to figure out what to do. He's built this thing that has been popular. It's thrown great parties, thrown great events at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. He's now being told that he has to segregate and do things that are contrary to the purpose of Body Freedom Village.
Contrary to the purpose of Porkfest.
So what does he do? Does he just put up and shut up and, you know, go ahead and try to have the best Porkfest he can have under the circumstances, build the wall, and make it as fabulous as possible under the circumstances? Or does he go his own way and either create a completely separate festival or join Forkfest, you know, join forces with Forkfest and do his thing there where there won't be any of those restrictions?
He could build a wall of naked people.
No, I don't think that would, I don't think that would pass the new rules.
I mean, not actual people, but, you know, like statuesque people, for example, right?
Yes. And actually, they really had a cool thing this year where they had printed beach towels. Did you see these towels when you were there?
I think I did, yeah.
They had printed up beach towels with actual, like, imagery of statues. So
yeah.
I think it was David, for instance.
It was. There's a couple of
and
them.
And then maybe,
yeah.
Was it the love goddess or whatever? What was it?
Aphrodite?
Venus or Aphrodite,
yeah.
Or something like that. So, like, famous naked statues. They put it on, like, beach towels, and you could wrap the towel in such a way that as you're walking around the campground wrapped in your beach towel, it's showing you a full frontal nude shot,
yeah,
of the statue of David right where the genitals should,
yeah,
be located.
You could be, like, I think I saw a guy fully clothed
walking with
one
the towel,
of the towels.
Yeah. I thought that was really brilliant, and so those are some of the things they could do if they were to continue on, but I think that is a big question here. You had mentioned, Captain, that you're considering putting more time and effort into promoting ForkFest. I know other people have said things like that. It's one thing to say it 11 months out or 10 months out. It's a whole other thing to keep the momentum going and actually get people to show up for this, but what should Free Talk Live do? I mean, as supporters of Body Freedom Village, as Body Freedom supporters, we had the signage up.
Yep.
Aria actually did a topless event. I think it was
sure
a Wednesday show,
yep,
where there were three people that were topless.
I was there, and then, like, the show started, and there were topless people there. And I had to go do a thing.
Yep.
And so I went and I did a thing, and I came back before the show was over, and there were even more topless people when I came
there
back.
Was even a woman there who was not topless, but she had a child.
Oh, the horror.
There was a child.
A child saw naked breasts?
Naked breasts. But here's the thing. I did get one answer from the organizer, Constance, of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They are not considering topless women as nudity under the new rules at 2024. And I said, well, that's going to be the next thing. Because that's what these people who are upset at nudity,
yeah,
they weren't just upset at people's genitals. There was at least one guy who's fairly highly, you know, well known, who was at the Libertarian Party tent, which was right across the street from Free Talk Live's tent. He was complaining that there were topless people at the Free Talk Live tent and essentially saying they should have been at Body Freedom Village. They shouldn't have been out. And at that time.
But can you imagine the chaos that would occur if a baby saw a breast? I mean, babies,
yeah,
looking at breasts.
They don't even
can
see that. It's not like it's their major source of nutrition or anything.
But this guy was complaining about the toplessness and essentially saying he wasn't going to attend next year because of topless women. So the same thing's going to happen.
People
if they
are so programmed, man. Yeah. Like your conditioning, people's conditioning through public schools, through indoctrination, through propaganda, through Hollywood television, cable TV, movies, books, radio even for that matter, people have been conditioned to believe that it's okay for you to force your opinions on other people. We're here to tell you this is not okay.
I want to go to the phones here. We got a gentleman on the line here. You're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
Shag.
Shag, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, a few things. First of all, I agree with Captain. This fear of nudity definitely results from years and years of indoctrination, of being brought up, you know, by a family or by a society that shuns it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we're all naked underneath our clothes.
Right.
And I agree with you, Ian. You say a lot, like, a naked person is not inherently sexual, so that is,
yes,
absolutely the truth. And I do think that at Porkfest, I've been several times, I do think there's this, they're trying to sort of toe this line between, like, true freedom, like true liberty, and family friendliness. So there's, like, this weird dance they're trying to pull, like, all right, we have to have it be family friendly, but also we have to allow for people to be truly free. And so there's this weird thing they're trying to strike. And
this is a dichotomous situation. To me,
no,
Porkfest is a completely family-friendly event, as long as your,
yep,
family isn't uptight and conservative, yep, okay? As long as you're okay with other people being the way they want to be, there's no danger to,
yep,
your family,
yep,
at this event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. And I did get the sense this past Porkfest that I feel like there's going to be more of a splintering. I think Porkfest is probably going to gain more sort of attention and popularity it just seems like I talked to a number of people this past Porkfest that feel like it's just a little too tame, and they feel like they're being watched, mm-hmm. and there's no aggression being, you know, displayed, but a lot of people seem to feel like they just weren't comfortable being themselves mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And
wow,
you know, as long as people adhere to the non-aggression principle, like no harm, no foul, and
well, you see that really, I want to just touch on that for a moment here because that's not good enough, okay, for a society. The non-aggression principle is the bare minimum accepted behavior of human beings, and that is to say, you do not aggress against your neighbors. That's all it is, right? Like you don't threaten people over whatever it is that they're doing. But the people who are behind this new restriction against the naked attendees at Porkfest, they will say, oh, well, we're being libertarian, and we're not violating the non-aggression principle. I mean, this is a private event. We can have whatever rules we want, a private event. And they are right about that, which is why, again, another example of how we've said for years on Free Talk Live, you have to have more than non-aggression to have a good, healthy society. You have to be, and you touched on this earlier, Captain, you have to be allowing and tolerant of other people, because if you are not, then it's just going to be this sort of cycle where if you are nasty towards others, towards, you know, what they're doing and how they're choosing to live their lives, that's going to engender negative feelings towards you and the way that you decide to live your life.
Yeah.
And before you know it, laws are getting passed and rules are getting promulgated, and now you don't have freedom anymore. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
It comes back at you.
Yep. Yep. I couldn't agree anymore. It's tolerance is really at the root of a healthy relationship with other people.
Well, I'm gonna be the odd man out on this conversation, and I disagree.
Okay.
No, I think the tolerance is completely unnecessary. What we need is the people who cannot tolerate a given thing mm-hmm. need to be in a different place from the thing that they cannot tolerate. And it's really as simple as that. So, like, if, for example, you consider prostitution mm-hmm. to be just an abominable act and fundamentally degrading of something that is pure and holy and good and righteous, then great. Go over here where you can be with other people who also believe that or something similar and leave the people over here alone. So that's not really being tolerant. That's self-segregating from what you prefer and what they prefer.
Well, it is being tolerant in one respect, though, that they aren't actively trying to stop them from doing their thing. They're just saying, they're doing a thing, I don't like
there.
It, I'm going to go over here where the things that I like are.
Right, but that's
so they are tolerating their decisions to...
They're not mounting an attack.
Well, they're not tolerating it in their presence, and all they're doing is following the non-aggression principle.
Right.
So they're not tolerating it in their part of society. They're just being non-aggressive.
Thank you, Ben, for the call tonight. I appreciate the call. The number here is... Oh, I just realized you didn't give us that name on here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join the show. Talk about tolerance. We can get deeper into that as well. Or I like to call it the art of allowing. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. At least 80 people have died in the Maui fires, what's being called the deadliest natural disaster in the state's history. Former President Trump was in Des Moines on Saturday, joining his GOP rivals campaigning at the Iowa State Fair. A Georgia grand jury is expected to begin hearing the case against Trump as early as Monday. Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan confirmed on Saturday that he is scheduled to testify on Tuesday. Toyota is recalling nearly 170,000 new model Tundra pickup trucks to fix a problem with the fuel line. The company says there's a potential risk of a fire if a faulty fuel tube rubs against the vehicle's brake line. Barbie tops $500 million across North American theaters as it wins the box office for a fourth straight weekend. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at tcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, the live Saturday show here. You can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. Although we've been focusing so far on some of the terrible decisions that the Porcupine Freedom Festival has made up until now, when they're making one of the worst ones yet to restrict Body Freedom Village, the naked folks over at Porkfest, and segregate them. That's the best word for this.
Because segregation works so well, as history has shown.
It really brings people together.
I'm being sarcastic.
The segregating Body Freedom Village out to the most remote section of the park, but yet also the area with the most likelihood of offense.
Wait, fine. We're only segregating the minority.
You know what this reminds me of? Native American Indian reservations.
Okay.
That's what this reminds me of. It's like, oh, we've taken over this thing. We don't like the indigenous people that are here just sort of having their way and, you know, roaming about Earth as if it's not owned by man. And so we're going to take them and put them on a little reservation over here so we can control the rest of it.
Yeah. And they have a lot of rules, too. The Bureau of Indian Affairs and Welfare. Oh, it's a whole other story. But
maybe the Body Freedom Village people should start a casino.
Well, there was gambling here and there throughout the Porcupine Freedom Festival, as I understand it.
I'm not aware of any.
And it is certainly possible to create an event that is a big draw, even to a remote area of the park.
Sure.
That is a possibility. If they threw an epic party or something like that, it may indeed draw people. However, out of sight is out of mind, and that's a reality for things, okay? And these people are going to be completely out of sight. I mean, they used to be out on the outskirts, but not this far out on the outskirts. And they did that on their own volition so as to not step on, you know, as many toes. But now they're being put in a place where if they were to throw a party, it would upset the neighbors, because the neighbors are the regulars at the park. These are people who are there. They exist during the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but they're not there for the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Right.
We have no idea what the belief systems of the park regulars are, and they will be the ones located right next door to what might be Body Freedom Village in 2024. So there's no way Body Freedom Village is going to throw some epic Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party or something like that, and I refer to something that happened for 6 years in the original sort of come up of the Porcupine Freedom Festival that we were describing earlier on its initial rise into popularity. Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party was one of the biggest attractions, one of the most popular, if not the most popular event that happened at the Porcupine Freedom Festival for 6 years. And it had its own controversy, right? They had to have it in its own tent. You had to be an adult to go into the tent because the conservative types that attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival were upset that there was a quote-unquote big gay dance party going on. But nonetheless, it went on. It went on in the heart of the event, and it was very, very, very popular. Got news articles were written about it, and it attracted, I think, some people to the event that otherwise might not have heard about it in a good way. You cannot throw that event right next door to the park regulars. They do not want you throwing a loud party at nighttime outside of their residence.
Unless those specific neighbors are brought into it and are supportive of it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
I mean, that's virtually impossible, but, there is a possibility.
There's a reason why the noise area, so if you look at the park map from the Porcupine Freedom Festival, there's like a late-night party area. Uh-huh. It is as far away from the park regulars as any area can possibly be.
Yeah, and also down the hill.
And there's a reason for that. That's because certain people who are park regulars are the most likely to complain about noise. They aren't there for a party. They're there for the whole summer.
So this year, you can be naked, you can party, you just can't be naked and party.
This year meaning 2024, the upcoming event. So, I mean, that is going to kill the fun zone that was the Body Freedom Village. And then, of course, also putting up a wall is going to kill it as well. So, again, it comes back to this question of, you know, what do these guys do? Do they deal with the rules? And some of them are saying, well, it's at least they didn't ban us from the event. We'll try to have the best time we can have.
It's only going to go so far. I mean, if you allow, I hate that word. If the BFV people sort of allow this, I don't even know what to call segregation, this oppression, for lack of a better term, to happen, that just means that once they get away with it once or twice,
it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
No toplessness. Right?
They're going to clamp down on something else next year, right? These supposed complainers, these anonymous people of which we have no data, right? Not even a number of people.
They won't say anything about.
Right? Like, I mean, this could all be a farce for all we know. They want, Porkfest wants all of the attendees, when you reserve a site, to provide the names of everybody to be on that site.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, there's
micromanagement.
As near as I can tell, there's some, like, you know, if you buy a site and you're like, I'm going to have six people here, I don't know who they are yet.
Yeah. Sure.
Right? There's some, like, you know, some you put your name down six times or something. I don't know how that works because I haven't done it, but there's some of that going around. I don't know, like, how tolerant they're going to be within that. And, like, what happens if you buy a site and then you can't make it and you want to, like, sublease it to somebody else who can use it or whatever, and they have one more person than you do. How does that work? None of this is supposed to happen. It's supposed to be you follow the rules of the festival and the campground, and then within that, everything else is fair game, right? So you should be allowed to, if you have a boatload of cash and want to buy a whole row of sites, and you get in at, you know, timely enough, you should be able to buy a whole row and then sublease them out.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Right? Why not? It's the free market in action. That's what happens, right?
Well, because they want to be the ones charging for those sites.
So
how dare you make money in addition to them making
money? Nothing ruins friendships when a bunch of money is involved.
Yeah.
Or more than when a bunch of money is involved.
Yeah, so this is pretty sad stuff, and it does call into question not only what should Body Freedom Village do, but what should its supporters do as well? I mean, as a body freedom-friendly site, the Free Talk Live site, should we, in solidarity with them, say, you know what, we love Porkfest. It's a great event. I mean, with the exception of the organizers who try to make it the worst event possible inadvertently. They think they're helping, but they're not. With the exception of the organizers, it's a great event. There's 2,000 libertarians there, and everybody has a good time for the most part.
It's a family reunion of sorts,
too, for a lot of doesn't, people. The drama of the organization aspect doesn't seep into the day-to-day. So do we go and do the show and, you know, and try to have as good of a time as possible for the sake of... you know, that? Or do we say, you know what, it's gone too far. We're going to voluntarily opt out of attending this year. We'll, you know, release our campsite or whatever and then just go to Forkfest and do, you know, 4 days of Forkfest and call it a year. Has it gotten to that point yet? What's the appropriate response for longtime attendees here to this event?
I don't know. Maybe some callers have, you know, an idea or an opinion on the matter. 603-283-6160. I don't feel like it's there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Close.
This is the level of restriction
it's
that
close,
is
but,
crazy.
But also, I don't know that, you know, something like Free Talk Live opting out would be enough.
No, it would have to be a significant amount of people, and I wouldn't say that we have that kind of sway over the event or anything like that. And I've, in the past years when there have been controversies, I've leaned towards continuing on and,
you
know,
soldiering
on.
I think it's more important that a platform of, well, almost free speech, mm-hmm. right, because we are FCC regulated. I think it's more important that a platform like Free Talk Live is there, mm-hmm. but yet standing up for... those who are being oppressed.
Okay. That's where I've lent.
That's where I'm at on it right now.
That's where I've been
for
years.
That's more important.
Okay. Let's continue with the calls here. You're on Free Talk Live. Caller, what's your name?
Stefan,
calling from where?
Georgia.
And you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I actually had a question that doesn't necessarily pertain to Porkfest, but
sure.
rather wanted a libertarian perspective on a recent election that happened in Ohio.
Okay.
So they recently had an election where Ohio is one of the states that has a ballot initiative, but what makes it unique is it's one of very few states where a ballot initiative is able to amend the state constitution. And recently there was an initiative to increase the threshold for a ballot initiative to pass from
right.
the standard 50% plus 1 to 60%. And I was curious as to what you guys thought of ballot initiatives, constitutional amendments, things like that.
Well, this sounds just another form of making sure that the people don't wield power. This just seems like another... I mean, every time that the people get any modicum of their own say in how their lives are run, they change something to make sure that that can never, ever happen again. Every time that someone gets elected to a major position that isn't part of the two-party monopoly... then they make sure that however that happened, the rules are changed so that can never happen again, will make it this much harder.
Is that what's really going on here, though? I mean, because the argument for this increase is we're talking about changing the Constitution. This isn't just passing, you know, marijuana initiative or something like that to make a new law.
That can be one of the things.
Well, it could be, but it would modify the Constitution itself. So this is a fairly big deal, right? Like, in order to do a constitutional convention, you have to, at least at the national level, you have to have 3/4 of the states signing on to that. Shouldn't there be a higher bar than just 50 votes or 50% plus 1 in order to change the Constitution? Here in New Hampshire, it's 2/3.
Well,
in order to do that.
Well, it's a trade-off, right? So what you're gaining in stability, you're losing in flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
So to my mind, look, the fact that it's this easy means that it's this easy again. So if you make
That's
a change
true.
To the Constitution and you find that you don't like it, then you can change it just as easily as you changed it. Now, one of the differences, though, is anything that, say, for, you know, last year or the year before or what have you, that changed in the Constitution, any changes that have been made already, now those are locked in. So now those, instead of having the same bar that it took to change them, you have a higher bar to remake them. And if there's anyone who's like, okay, well, we're getting close, we're at 40% now, like there's 40% that are like, hey, maybe don't throw people in jail for having a substance that you don't like, right, or whatever it is, you know, whatever thing it is that the oppressive people like to have that power and like that to be a societally unacceptable behavior, whereas the people themselves really don't care and really don't think that violence is called for things like that. Now, if you have like, okay, well, we're at 45% this year, but we're not quite at 50%. Oh, well, we better change that to make it even more difficult.
Now, Stefan, as I understand it, this did not pass, correct? The people of Ohio did not vote in favor of this particular change?
No, it was defeated by a rather sound margin. And okay, I have to give kind of a background on the political landscape here. The state assembly, to my knowledge, had passed a bill previously that had outlawed August special elections, but they had made an exception to it, mostly because the reason that the state Republican Party was attempting to get this through was because the idea of abortion rights being enshrined in the Constitution post Roe v. Wade was in the cards, and that's going to appear on the November ballot. So this was mostly an attempt to do that. Now, also, it didn't just raise the threshold, but it increased the basically the way you would get something on the ballot. So the way it works now is you have to get 5% of the last general election signatures in 44 counties, which is half of all Ohio counties.
Just to clarify, you have to get 5% in each county, or you have to get 5% total, doesn't matter which counties they come from?
5% in each, in at least 44 of the counties, and it has to be in each county.
Wow, okay.
And the threshold is going to be raised to, you have to get 5% in each of 88 counties.
There's 88 counties in Ohio?
Yeah.
And where, that's a lot of counties.
Yeah. And I think this is where Mountaineer's dead on, because this simply was an attempt to overthrow the people's power to change the Constitution, because it's quite clear to me that the overwhelming majority of Ohioans are for abortion rights being enshrined in the Constitution. They don't want the government involved in this particular issue. And
how bad did this go down in flames, this proposal? You said it was fairly significant.
This was 15 points. And I think the only reason it got as much support as it did, because it should have been defeated by way more than that, was because Ohio Republicans were kind of playing on these out-of-state evil liberals are coming into the state to put trans health care rights into our Constitution when there's been no such measure proposed.
So,
that's interesting.
So a really important distinction here. I mean, we're not talking about completely separate countries that you can't leave or enter here. We're talking about the United States. So, look, if Ohio decides that they're going to enshrine abortion rights in their constitution and you don't like it, go. Leave. Go to a place where you can be surrounded with people who also think that that's a terrible idea.
So this comes back to the conversation.
You don't like it, leave?
Yes.
Okay, but this comes back to the conversation we were having, or we started to have, about the idea of allowing others to make choices for themselves that you wouldn't necessarily make for yourself. I mean, obviously the religious conservative types are really upset about abortion. They really hate that other people will do something to their bodies that they would not do.
So that's the difference. They believe that this is someone else's body.
I know what they believe. I get it.
Then don't strawman their argument. I mean, like, let's face this for what it is. They believe that this is someone else's body.
What they believe. I get that. I don't share that belief. You know, for me, it's a parasite, whatever. But the thing is, they cannot let it go. And I want to give you an example of this. So, for instance, Reed Coverdale, friend of the show, sometime co-host, he went on Timcast this week, very popular internet video show and podcast. It was his second appearance on that. And so I normally don't watch Timcast, but I like Reed. So I went and I watched the episode and, you know, was listening to it while doing other things. And Reed attempted to bring up the idea of independence, attempted to bring up the idea of people separating, like you're talking about, peaceless. He did mention secession at one point, but he was mostly just talking about just move to a place. Move to a place that's more like you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the main host of the show, Tim, he cannot abide this particular tactic. And the reason he brings up is because well, the people in that other place will still be doing things that I don't agree with, and that's why we need a strong central federal government to crush these people from having an abortion or doing whatever other thing that conservatives think is upsetting.
Oh, Tim showing his true colors.
Yes, they just cannot let it go. So while we can see, oh yes, move where you want to live, and then you'll be around people that you want to be around, they still can't just let go that somebody somewhere else on the planet is doing something they don't like.
Ideally, you shouldn't have to move. Everybody should just be like, oh, I'm a free person.
You can stay where you are and be unhappy if you want.
You're a free person, and you know, we'll just allow each other to do what each other wants to do and be cordial to each other as neighbors, and life will go on. That's really all that needs to, I mean, like, people make such a big deal out of all this stuff, and it's like, mind your own business. Mind your business.
Well,
the rest of it will work itself out.
I mean, I can see why you'd want to stop the murder of children, especially if it's, you know, hundreds of thousands every year. Now, I don't agree with them, but they really believe that these are children and that you are murdering them.
Are they willing to go to war over it?
That is the strange part.
If that's true, then they should also be as vehement against statism because of the amount of people the state murders.
I'll grant you that.
They won't go to war.
I'll grant you that.
They won't go to war, you say?
No, they won't go to war. Honestly, to me, that's a really silly concept because, first of all, the individuals that believe in this kind of extreme concept are a pretty large minority in this country, and a very small minority of them would be willing to, quote, go to war, and the National Guard would eat them alive and throw them in the streets.
Thanks for the call tonight, Stefan. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. It would put them in an interesting circumstance, right? Like, if we actually had what you were talking about, the idea of, okay, liberal people, you move to California, and you move to Colorado, and you move to Massachusetts, New York State, and conservative people, you move to Texas, you move to Florida, you move to South Dakota, whatever, you know, and then you just have your conservative and liberal states and go to town. Would the conservatives then say, oh, we just can't allow those people over there to be doing that abortion thing. We're going to build an army and we're going to invade because we care about human life so much we're going to destroy thousands of our teenagers' lives to go and stop abortion. I mean, would that really happen?
Like, I'm kind of torn here because on one hand, I don't like the notion of if you don't like it, leave. Right. Because this just sounds like, you know, the statist rhetoric, you know, when you start, you know, throwing arguments at them and their brain, their cognitive dissonance kicks in. And,
Hold on.
I'm going to tell you to leave the United States or whatever, right?
Well, hold on. But
hang on. Let me finish my statement, right? So on one hand, I don't like the phrase. On the other hand, I've already moved to New Hampshire to be around more like-minded people. So how do I reconcile those two concepts?
Well, every time that I hear that argument, in the context that you're describing, it's always over something that, like, for example, taxes.
Right.
Do you know where I can go that I won't be taxed? Nowhere.
Correct.
Nowhere on the face of the earth can I go that I won't be taxed.
Right.
So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about abortion. And look, obviously, this is a question. There are reasonable arguments on both sides of this, and there are places available to anyone who wants either more abortion or less abortion. Yeah. You can go. Well, I can't go anywhere where I can get less statism than this.
Right. To me, it's a cultural thing. What you guys are talking about is people organizing according to, we'll say, philosophical or cultural beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And thanks to the internet, for the first time, it's possible to do so.
Right.
Right.
And even for the internet, I mean, the Mormons did this successfully in the 1800s.
Okay. It's more possible
it's easier now than
it ever has. Yeah. It's more easy to identify. Yep.
You can find your tribe.
And by find your tribe, like, you can pick your family. There's all these people who, like, have that, and, like, it's been, like, this thing that, like, families have there. Oh, family's blood is thicker than... It's like, no. If your family sucks...
It's strangers you're born
you
into.
Don't, yeah, you don't have to, like, be around them. You know, you might have to be like, yeah, that's my family.
You have no obligation to
You have no obligation to do anything. So, like, you can go and find a family that loves you and appreciates you for you and who you are and your beliefs and your
cultural... You can, and you should. And if you don't, because of some misguided belief that you owe something to these randos that you've essentially been born into, it's your own fault for making yourself, you know, being staying in a miserable place. I saw one of these, you know, viral videos of some lady living in San Francisco complaining about how scary it is to just walk around the streets of San Francisco these days, right? It's not like it was 40 years ago. You know, it's dangerous for people now. And I'm just like, why are you still there?
Yeah.
Why are you staying in a place that you're afraid to leave your house? You have the ability to go anywhere now in a lot of careers. Like, you don't have to actually stay in a place just because of a job. And so people are more mobile now than they've ever been. You have fewer excuses than ever to stay still.
The irony is, most of the time when I encounter a person who has, I'm going to call it a legitimate excuse to not leave, it's because of the state. Right, it's because I'm locked into child support, and you know, whatever. It's some state-based reason that they can't actually leave. You know, my mom's here and she's in a hospice and it's already paid for, so I got to be there. You know, that kind of a thing. Those are to me the most, we'll call them, valid excuses to not leave. But outside of that, yes, the majority of people can absolutely leave their circumstance. And why they don't, I don't know. I can't tell you.
The fact that people do not understand what I termed earlier as the art of allowing, the ability to simply allow others to choose wrong, as you may believe, make it a wrong choice, but to let them experience the consequences of their actions and just allow that to happen is one of the reasons why getting the idea of secession out there is so hard to do. Because there are the people, it's not just the conservatives, it's also the liberals, they cannot let go of the idea of letting go of the federal government because that to them is their means of controlling the other. This group that is doing things they cannot possibly abide.
You don't want to be the other. Yeah. What do you think the division is amongst libertarians regarding abortion?
I don't know. I'd say
it's even. I'd say it's roughly 50-50.
So, I
will say that at the moment, there's probably more that are anti-abortion than pro, but that's just a sign of the times where the conservatives have become more libertarian and is probably on the way out.
But yet, libertarians can coexist.
But how many of the libertarians, the most important question is how many of them believe a certain way, but how many of them are willing to use the violence of the state to put a stop to the other side?
Hopefully none, or they're not libertarians.
I would agree with you there. The number here is 603-283-6160. The true libertarian response should be to persuade people to not have abortions, not to stick a gun to a doctor's head or the lady's head. There's more coming up here. Hour number three, you can join the show. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish. GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.